The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. You know, there can come a time in your life when it's time to move instead of pray. You've prayed enough, now it's time to take action.
Motive without motion is meaningless. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us put feet to our prayers.
You can pray and pray and pray, but do what God has told you to do and do and do at the same time. Both need to be happening. So you pray, God, help us. Oh, Lord, the Lord say, okay, whatever. Start walking.
This is the day when the lost are found.
GPS systems have come a long way over the years. Not only can they show the best route, but traffic along the way, coffee stores, gas stations, and fast food. You know exactly which way to go and how long it'll take. But you still have to put the car in drive and get moving. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the same is true in our walk with God. After we've prayed for direction and strength, it's time to get moving. It's harder to steer a parked car.
Turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. We're in a series that we're calling Water, Fire, Stone, based on the life of Moses. And the title of the message today is Between Impossible and More Impossible. We're going to look at the nation Israel. They're facing the Red Sea. They're facing an insurmountable obstacle. And right behind them, if that wasn't bad enough, right behind them is the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. So basically, it was them between the devil and the deep blue sea. They were between a rock and a hard place. They were between impossible and more impossible. So what do? As the army is closing in on them, they did what you would do. They completely freaked out, okay? Look at Exodus chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. And when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they said to Moses, "Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt?" Now, I love what Moses says to them. He reassures them that God will protect them and guide them. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." You're joking, right? We're backed up against the Red Sea. They're in hot pursuit. And you're saying, just chill, relax. Everything's great. Oh, this army you see now, they won't even be here tomorrow. Just be still and wait on the Lord. It's not easy to do that, is it? See, when I put my eyes on my circumstances, I can see them in a different light. Unbelief tends to create or magnify my difficulties. But in contrast, faith rises up above them and helps me see them through the eyes of faith. So here's Israel. They're between an unconquerable army and an impassable sea. They're between the devil and the deep blue sea, between a rock and a hard place. And now we're going to see the Lord work, bringing me to point number four. When you're led by the Lord, make your move. When you're led by the Lord, make your move. Look at Exodus 14, 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea and divide the water so the Israelites can walk through," underline that, those two words, "walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." You know, there can come a time in your life when it's time to move instead of pray. That might sound strange. We should always pray. Yes, we should. But there can come a moment where you've prayed enough, now it's time to take action. Let's illustrate. Let's say you have a marriage that seems to be falling apart. So you pray. You pray for your husband and you say, oh Lord, change the heart of my husband. Help him to love me more. Help him to appreciate me more. Help him to work harder. Lord, just change him. He's such a jerk. Meanwhile, the husband is praying, Lord, change this wife of mine. Help her to stop nagging me and harassing me and help her to respect me. And that's what you're praying. And you pray these prayers over and over again. Maybe it's time to stop praying and start doing. Start by reading your own mail. And by that I mean, read what the Bible says to you. The Bible is very specific in what it says to husbands and wives and how we can have strong marriages. First of all, it says to the husbands, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. So ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. So start by loving your wife. Yeah, pray for her, but love her, because maybe one of the reasons she is the way that she is because you're not doing your part. You see, we love Jesus right now because Jesus first loved us, right? The Bible says you love him because he first loved you. My love for God is a response of God's love for me. And in the marriage, when a husband loves his wife as he ought to love her, she will respond in a different way because he's taken the initiative. Meanwhile, looking at the wife, it says specifically, respect your husband. Respect your husband. When's the last time you told your husband how much you appreciate all that he does for you? Not just all the things he hasn't done, but the things that he does do every single day. See, here's my point. You can pray and pray and pray, but do what God has told you to do and do and do at the same time. Both need to be happening. And maybe it's someone that's wronged you, someone that's hurt you. Someone has said something to you that's been very painful for you. So you pray, Lord, help me forgive this person. Every time I see them, my blood just starts to boil. So what do you do? Oh, I prayed, Lord, take this anger away. Take this bitterness away. That's good. Pray for that. But now here's what next step you need to do. Why don't you just go forgive them? Instead of praying, Lord, give me the strength to forgive them, just go forgive them. Well, I don't feel that. Who cares what you feel? Just do it. I forgive you. You might find that the emotions will follow the act of obedience. Go and do the right thing. Because when you forgive a person, as we pointed out before, you set a prisoner free yourself. Or we're praying, Lord, save so-and-so. Help them come to Jesus. Help them believe in you. Amen. Keep praying for them. But have you engaged them with the gospel yet? See, there's God's part and there's your part. There's a time to pray and there's a time to move. And they're all calling out, oh God, help us. Oh Lord, the Lord's saying, okay, whatever. Start walking. And Moses holds up his staff and the water parts and they're walking now through it. And here's another thing I find very interesting. God could have airlifted them over the Red Sea. Could have just picked them up, dropped them over on the other side. They'd be looking at the Egyptians, you know. But the Lord says, oh, I want you to walk through it. And by the way, that was a long walk. Imagine for a moment, it's hard to really, but these massive walls of water on each side, you could probably see the sea creatures swimming around in there. There's a few great whites kind of concerning me, you know, because I hear the theme song playing in the background, of course. Dun, 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 dun. And they're walking through, and it's not a quick walk. It takes a long time. They walk, and they walk, and they walk. And is that not a summation of the Christian life? You know, it's a walk. God doesn't save us and just take us straight to heaven. He saves us. He forgives us. And then we begin our walk with him. And that's what we do for the rest of our life, putting one foot in front of the other. It's a walk of faith, not a walk of feeling. Because the Bible says the just will live by faith. As one person put it, the Christian life is long obedience in the same direction. So every day I just walk by faith, I live by faith, and one day I come to the end of my walk and I enter into eternity. Sort of like the story of Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him or translated him. So every day, Enoch would go on a walk with his buddy, God. And they would stroll along each and every day. And one day the Lord said to Enoch, you know, buddy, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come home with me? And he was not, and he went to heaven. And that's what will happen to you and to me. we're walking with the Lord each and every day. And then one day the Lord says, you're coming home now. It's it. Come on home. But that's what they did. They walked through, and we need to walk through as well. And they went to the other side where God had called them. And so we all are in this walk, and we're all facing our challenges, and God is bigger than the problems we are facing right now. And so we need to now, as we walk with the Lord and see the answers he gives to our prayers, to give him the glory, bringing me to my next point. After overcoming the impossible, give God the glory. After you overcome the impossible, and you will, there will be situations that there's no way out, and God makes a way where there wasn't a way. Haven't you had that happen? That's why it's a good thing to write down what God has done for you. Write down answers to your prayers, because maybe you're feeling overwhelmed right now. And if you would just reflect back a month ago or 6 months ago or a year ago, what you were facing, and then remind yourself of what the Lord did, that'll give you encouragement in what you're facing right now.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. Many listeners write or call us to share their stories of pain and loss, but also of hope.
Hi, my name is Keith. I listen to the program just about every day. It's been very helpful for me, and some things that I've been going through. Two of my sons were murdered, and my oldest daughter had cancer. So losing three kids was extremely devastating to me. And I bought the book, Hope for Hurting Hearts, by Greg Laurie. And it certainly helped me tremendously and helped me to get my focus on the Lord and help other people who have gone through similar circumstances. And I'm just grateful for this ministry, and I will continue to support the ministry as well.
You can find out more about Hope for Hurting Hearts online at store.harvest.org. When we hear from you, it's not only a blessing, it also confirms that the program is touching lives here in this community. Leave a message for Pastor Greg. Call 1-866-871-1144. Again, that's 866-871-1144. Well, we're crossing the Red Sea with the Israelites today, as Pastor Greg leads our study of the life of Moses in a message called Between Impossible and More Impossible.
So they came to the other side and they sang a special song to God. By the way, this is the first song recorded in the Bible. It's Exodus 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I'll sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, and he has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So what happened? They walked through the Red Sea. They got to the other side, and the Lord brought the walls of water down on the pursuing Egyptian army. You might say, well, that seems very cruel on the part of God. Does it? Don't forget, Pharaoh drowned the baby Jewish boys just for being Jewish. And he was ready to kill the Israelites fleeing from him, including their children. I say Pharaoh simply reaped what he sowed. But here's the takeaway truth of this particular point of the story. And that is, remember to bring as much passion in your thanks that you offer to God after he answers your prayer as you put into the need before he answered your prayer. Does that make sense? So we're like on our knees. We're pleading with God. Oh, God, come through. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, change this. And the Lord does it. He does it. We say, amen, God, see you next crisis. Wait, what? Now you offer him the praise and the thanksgiving. And that is what the people of Israel did. They brought their praise to God. You know, we all have a Red Sea that we face in life. And by that, I mean something that stands in the way of the blessings of God. Because what was on the other side was the promised land. And we'll get to that later. That's where they were headed. But they had to get over first. They had to get to that destination. And maybe there's something in your path. You know, here, even at our church, we have a Red Sea in front of us, so to speak. And that's because We feel that the Lord wants us to go and make a difference in our world. You know, I'm called, as you know, to be both a pastor and an evangelist. Yes, I am schizophrenic. And this has always been sort of this a balancing act of my life, because when I first became a Christian, I did feel a call to evangelism. And in fact, as a young Christian, I went down and saw Billy Graham preaching in San Diego, and I thought, wow, that's what I would like to do when I grow up. A little did I ever dream that I would actually be doing something similar to it. But so I was out preaching the gospel and doing evangelistic ministry, and this little Bible study opportunity opened up for me here in Riverside. And it was a group of young people, and so we were studying together and praying together and building a community together. And it kept growing, and people started calling me Pastor Greg, and I'm like 20 years old. I'm thinking, I had been a Christian 3 years. I'm thinking, I can't be a pastor. I'm not qualified to be a pastor. I tried to get other people to take this little Bible study over, but nobody wanted to do it. And I realized God's calling me to do it. But I thought, how can I be an evangelist and a pastor? But I just continued to do both as the years went by. And then in 1990, the Lord opened up a new door to do large-scale evangelistic events. And we just celebrated doing that for 30 years, as you all know. And we're thankful to the Lord for all that's been accomplished. But we're still doing both. And sometimes people ask me, what do you like doing more, Greg? Do you like being a pastor or do you like being an evangelist? And my answer might surprise some. What I like doing way more is being a pastor. That's where my heart is. That's where my passion is. I love that the most. I love to study the Word of God. I love to deliver the Word of God. I love to see the impact of the Word of God in the lives of people. And then I see it now passing on from generation to generation. The people that were kids and we started become parents and their grandparents, and they're handing it on to their children. And it's just a wonderful thing to see. But I do feel a calling still to be an evangelist. And I've never shared this story publicly, but I'll share it with you now. Something Billy Graham said to me once. By the way, I'm writing a book on the life of Billy Graham right now, and it's going to be sort of the third part of a trilogy that I never set out to write, but I ended up writing anyway. The first one was the story of the conversion of Steve McQueen, called Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon. The second book in that trilogy was on Johnny Cash, Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon. The third will be Billy Graham, The Making of an American Icon. And, you know, Cash and McQueen were both known for their coolness, if you will. I think Billy Graham was the coolest cat of all. And he was sort of the glue in the two stories. Because in the story of McQueen, you remember as Steve found out he had cancer, but he had accepted Christ at that point. He wanted Billy Graham to pray for him. Billy met him before Steve made his journey to Mexico to a clinic there for a surgery. And Steve had misplaced his Bible, and Billy gave to him his Bible. And as it turns out, Steve died there in that clinic holding the Bible of Billy Graham. And then in the life of Johnny Cash, Billy and Johnny were very good friends. And Johnny performed at many of Billy's crusades and so forth. So Billy's sort of the glue. But I want to tell the story of Billy that maybe some people don't know. And getting to know him personally, I had some very interesting conversations with him and saw him in a way that others have not seen him. And I have to tell you, and I've already said this before, but he was the most godly man I ever met. So one day I'm sitting with Billy Graham, and we had started our crusade ministry. It was up and running. It was going very well. Billy turns to me and he says, Greg, I think you should leave your church and no longer be pastor and go into full-time evangelism. And I was like, whoa. I mean, you know, when Billy Graham says something like that to you, you can't dismiss it. I looked at him and I said, oh, Billy, you are Billy Graham. And he kind of smiled. And I said, it's like Moses just said that to me. Okay. I can't just say, oh, whatever. It's like you said it to me. So now I need to pray about it. And I did pray about it for quite a while. And then I went back to Billy and said, Billy, I really appreciate your encouragement, but I feel called by God to still be a pastor and do evangelism. And that's what I've been doing since that day. And I love to do both. And so let me just wrap this message up with these thoughts. What looked like a hopeless situation turned out to be a time of glorious deliverance. Pharaoh's plan backfired. He thought, if I can just wipe these people out, that'll be the end of it. And he actually helped to bring about the plan of God. The same thing happened at the cross. You know, the devil never wanted Jesus to come. Remember when those wise men from the east came to Pharaoh saying that they followed the star. They had come to worship the one who was the king of the Jews. When Herod heard that, he flipped out. And he went and murdered all those Jewish baby boys, thinking he would stop Messiah from arriving. Obviously, that didn't work out. But then the devil changed his strategy and entered the heart of Judas Iscariot. And Judas betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. The devil thought he won. The devil thought he stopped Christ. In reality, the devil helped to fulfill prophecy, because God not only told us that his son would be born in a manger in Bethlehem, God not only told us that his son would die on a cross for the sin of the world and rise from the dead, but he told us it was all going to happen before it happened. And that was the plan and purpose of God from the beginning. The devil's plans will always backfire, and God will always have the last word, because God is bigger than your problem. So let me close with this. Do you have a relationship with God right now? Is Jesus Christ, who was born in that manger and died on that cross and rose again, living inside of you? God wants to come and live in our hearts and forgive us of all of our sins. And if you've never asked him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, if you need Jesus to come into your life right now, I want to close with an invitation for you to believe in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. And I pray now for any person here, wherever they are, watching, listening, if they don't know you yet, let this be the moment they come to you and believe. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an invitation to get your heart right with the Lord. And if you'd like to do that today, Pastor Greg will help you in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. But if you missed any portion of today's study, a message called Between Impossible and More Impossible, you can hear the whole program again online at harvest.org, or download an MP3, or even order a CD. Again, go to harvest.org, or call us at 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, somebody listening is going through a very tough challenge right now.
Right.
You know, it may be the result of the pandemic, or maybe a marriage issue, or financial problems.
Yes.
What kind of help and encouragement can they find by way of the new DVD, I Still Believe, that we're making available right now?
Well, you know, I think, Dave, that what we need to do is we need to turn to God during crisis. You know, one of my favorite Bible stories is when there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and those seasoned sailors began to despair of life. They thought they were going to drown. And suddenly they see a phantom-like figure approaching them on the water. It was Jesus. And they invited him on their boat. You know, it's interesting. He might have walked right by had they not invited him in. And we have a choice when we face hardship. We can try to face it on our own, or we can invite Christ into our crisis. We can invite the Lord into the challenges we're facing. Well, I have a movie I want to send you. You maybe have heard of it. It was a hit film. It's called I Still Believe. Amazing performances by top-rate Hollywood actors, expertly directed by the Irwin brothers, telling a powerful story of hope during difficult circumstances. In fact, the most difficult imaginable. It's a story of how God can come to you in your times of difficulty, as he came for Jeremy and Melissa Camp as they were facing cancer together.
I want you to know that whatever this is, and wherever it takes us, that I'm with you. Every step, every moment, I'm with you. I'm in. I'm so in. And I, you know, I figure if we're gonna get married, we have a lot to talk about.
Married?
Yeah. I love you. And I know relationships need to be prayed about, and you can take as much time as you need, but that's why I brought you here.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'll marry you. I'll marry you.
So order your copy of I Still Believe from us. And listen to this. We'll send it to you for your gift of any size. If you order it from us, you enable us to continue to bring the gospel to people and teach the word of God to people. And we'll literally send it to you for your gift of any size. Whatever you send, we'll take those resources and use them to touch more lives with the truth of God's word. So order your own copy of I Still Believe, the movie. On DVD, we're ready to send one to you.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the kind of movie you won't forget. And it really can change a life. And you know, your investment in this ministry can change a life as well. People are hurting. They're trapped in uncertainty, wondering what the future holds. Well, when you invest in A New Beginning, you're helping people meet the one who holds the future. So when you send a donation today, please ask for I Still Believe. And we hope you'll contact us right away, as we'll only be mentioning this resource a short time longer. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. And then, Pastor Greg, I know there are some in our audience who felt God speaking to them today through your message.
Yeah.
And they want to make a change in their relationship with the Lord. Could you help them with that?
Yeah, you know, Dave, the Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer where you will be doing just that, calling on the name of the Lord. So listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and take away your guilt and your shame, then just stop what you're doing and pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments. I have fallen short of your standards. But 2,000 years ago, you died on that cross for me. Then you rose again from the dead. So Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord and my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed along with Pastor Greg and you've meant those words sincerely, God has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. And we want to send you some materials to help you as you begin your new life as a follower of Christ. It's a collection of resources called the New Believer's Growth Packet. We'll send it without charge if you've made a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Just ask for it when you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go to harvest.org and click on Know God. Next time, Pastor Greg continues our studies in the life of Moses as we follow the children of Israel into the wilderness with the Egyptians in hot pursuit. Join us next time on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.